What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Sarah B, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with my amazing co-host and big brother,
Andy Bravo, or Andy B, aka Big Brother.
And welcome to the I Got 5 on It podcast, the movie podcast about the lesser movies in life. Today we are watching... What movie are we watching again? Today we watched... No, we're
Glass
not watching
Onion.
A movie.
We're not watch. It's not a watch party, guys. Like, don't worry, you're not missing anything. We watch Glass Onion.
I think it
has some sort of hyphenated name, like a Knives Out thriller or something like that.
Yeah, it's the sequel to the 2018? 2019 Knives Out movie, which I am actually not a fan of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't really get the hype. I didn't really understand. I didn't think it was special.
I didn't get the hype. I didn't think it was special. I liked
it. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It just was what it was. I never felt like I had to watch it again. I watched it once and I was done.
Yeah. That movie and this movie, they're very much like, almost like paperback novels. They're like just little like pocket thrillers. Like they're not, I know they're kind of different than what we're used to theatrically right now. So like they're kind of big news, but yeah, they're paperbacks and they're cool. I like them. They're just fun. Like if it's playing already halfway through it, I already seen it. I'll sit and watch it. You know, I know what's coming.
So for this film, before we get into it, do you want to do a review that doesn't have spoilers, or are we just doing a breakdown?
Listen, there's a spoiler alert. We're going to do, I think we should do an overall just view of what we liked and a progression, not like a scene by scene playback, okay. But we might spoil some shit. So if you haven't seen the movie, you might want to take caution to what we're saying.
Definitely. Definitely. If you haven't seen the movie, take lots of cautions of what I'm about to say. this movie was directed by Rian Johnson, written by Rian Johnson, starring Daniel Craig, Edward Norton, and Kate Hudson, which was my favorite thing about the movie was Kate Hudson, obviously. Rian Johnson also directed The Last Knives Out, directed films like Looper, Star Wars Episode, I don't know, The Last Jedi, whichever one that one is.
The eighth movie.
And then he also, he directed Brick, which is a really good old Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie, kind of like a teen investigation movie. I liked it. It's a good movie. Okay. Looper, I think, is a great movie, too.
I was going through that list, and I was like, once I got kind of past Looper, I had no idea what any of these other things were. I was just like, all right, I guess he's just starting out. He's a new guy.
No, definitely not a new guy. Has some films under his belt, but you know what? I think... It's like part of his whole thing, right? Because this director, he does love to do like mysteries. That's basically like all of his movies seem to have like this idea of like you kind of have to figure out the ending. And Knives Out, Glass Onion, or Glass Onion, a Knives Out story, definitely fits that bill. So we start the movie. And I'm not going to do a full scene-by-scene breakdown like Andy explained, but we start the movie and... There is a package that is sent to all these individual people. And the package is basically inviting them to this big party that they all are friends with this billionaire, kind of.
Yeah, I really like the actual, like, the animation and the design of this, invitation that he sends out. Even though, like, it physically doesn't make any sense at some points, you're just like, that's not how... Like that, it can't work that way. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to kind of like forgive that. I think there was like one part where it opens up like kind of like a flower, and then but then there's a wheel that spins, and you're just like that wouldn't ever work in real life or something like that. But yeah. I thought that it was a kind of a cool design, and then one of the things that really hit me as in like my funny bone a little bit is when Benoit kind of explains it. He's like, yes, yes, I got the package. It was full of these like children's puzzles. And then like I got the like kind of downplaying how hard it was for all the other characters to actually solve this.
Yeah, exactly.
A series like of riddles and puzzles.
The first
to get
couple
the invitation.
Scenes is everybody individually trying to figure out these puzzles.
Well, they're doing it like collectively on the phone. That's they have to do it as a group. Like to figure it out, and like Benoit plays it like he just figured it out on his own, like real quick, because it was like that simple for him.
And then we have Janae, what's her name again? I gotta go look for it. The girl that always wears suits.
Monet, I think.
Yeah, Janelle Monae. She also is not part of the phone call and does not, do the riddles with everybody else, and that is a little bit of a foreshadowing of later in the movie, but she ends up just breaking the box to get the answer, which I thought was kind of funny. It kind of shows that there's a difference between setting. She's like in the middle of like a remodeled kind of like place. It's kind of interesting.
I think she's in a basement.
Oh, she's in a basement. Okay, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
I think she's in a basement, and yeah, I think that was clever how that actually made sense later. Like, you know, early in the part, you're like, well, why wouldn't you try to solve all the pieces? And then but later it does make sense.
So after that, we then also, Annie mentioned before, the guy from the first movie, James Bond, his character is back. And
yeah, he's the carryover character. Yeah. Which I find fun. I find interesting because in the first Knives Out movie, Benoit Blanc isn't. I don't say he's necessarily the leading role. He's not the character that you're following on this.
It's, no, I wouldn't say that either. No.
It's more of it's Anna, the woman that was also in The Gray Man.
Yeah.
With Chris Evans and
that movie was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Not great, but it wasn't right.
We're talking about this movie though.
yeah. Sorry. So anyway, everyone is invited to this island. They're all homies with this billionaire who is played by no other than the fantastic actor of Edward Norton, which I'm always happy to see him on a film.
I was surprised. I was because I didn't do like when I first started this movie, I didn't really do like a cast list or do anything. I just kind of dove right in, because when it shows up on Netflix, they're always playing this trailer and they have like kind of this like Netflixy movie poster kind of thing. Yeah. They always hold up, so I can see who's there. I was like, oh, okay, like I could see Kate Hudson. Everybody knew Daniel Craig was going to be in it,
which is so interesting because you know they use the posters on Netflix specifically to add to specific people. Like they change the poster depending on the ones you click.
Oh, really?
So like my poster was only Edward Norton on it.
Oh, yeah. Mine had like everybody. Mine was everybody. So like I was like, oh, Catherine Hahn's in this movie. I didn't even know Dave Bautista was in this movie.
I didn't know Kate Hudson was in the movie either.
Yeah, I didn't know she was going to be in the movie either. And
but it was almost
like,
annoying, right? Like when I was watching this movie, I was just like, ugh, this famous person, that famous. It was like a little bit like, ugh. Like
no, I personally, when they introduced Daniel Craig's character right when he's like getting, not introduced because we know who he is from the first movie, but when his first scene in this movie, and I was like, damn, they just blasted us with like six cameos like right here.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Everybody he knows is famous, and they're not even like people. They're not famous people playing characters. They're just playing themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They just have their names on there. I was like, is that? I was like, is that Natasha Lyonne? And then it says like Natasha like on her screen. I was like, okay, so it really is just her. Like it's just
yeah.
Like,
and those kind of parts made me roll my eyes. Also, like the fact that it took place in COVID time. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why they chose to do that. Like,
and I wasn't sure if it was like the filming time, maybe. But
so,
I
but they
know.
Did that. But then they immediately, like, had some sort of magic spray that got rid of it, and that did not come back and explain anything. They were just like, "Hey, like, Elon Musk, Edward Norton guy, just he just sprays everybody in the throat, or his henchman sprays everybody in the throat, and then you don't have to worry about COVID anymore. Like, he has some sort of COVID cure that nobody else has or some shit like that. And I was just like, this is coming back. This is gonna be in the story somehow.
And then it doesn't.
And it doesn't. It doesn't come back at all.
Like, at all.
I was like, where is this going? Like, this is getting real weird.
And then, it's just like, So anyway, everyone shows up, and we have like the funny scene of each individual person getting to the island, and not like solo scenes, but we're seeing their characters like see the world and see Edward Norton. And it's very clear that everyone knows Edward Norton except for freaking James Bond.
And
that is explained.
Yeah, and then he plays it off real well that he doesn't even like Ed Norton kind of is like, oh yeah, yeah, and then he's like, I need to see you privately. Like, he's like, where the fuck are you here, bro?
I
thought that was like unexpected to me at that point, because the twist happens about like 2/3 of the way through this movie, where they kind of start spelling out how all this stuff is actually happening, and you're just like, oh, like, he doesn't know he's supposed to be here. And I was like, so why is he here? And, like, who brought him here? I thought that was, like, the most interesting part. And I wish they would have strung that out just a little bit more. Like, give me, like keep that a little closer to the chest. Like, yeah. I don't have to know everything right off the bat. Because it turns out, like, in the end, it's really not that complicated.
No, not at all. And it tricks you throughout the movie. I keep on thinking like oh, maybe this is happening.
It's so complicated. Like, oh, yeah. All these pieces are going to come together. And it's really not that complicated. And in this scene where Ed Norton is talking to Ben or Daniel Craig, and he does at some point, or Daniel Craig says it, he's like, it's very simple. Like, and it's kind of like he's saying it to the character, but then the words are also saying it to us as the audience, that this is simple. Like, don't overcomplicate it, even though it looks very complicated. Like, he's like, what you're putting together feels and looks complicated, but it really isn't. Happening is not complicated.
And that is kind of explained, like, once everyone goes in there and he explains, like, welcome to my party. Like, we're going to do like a murder mystery shenanigan thing. And they have like their dinner, and Daniel Craig's character just like is like, oh, I know what happens here. Like, that guy gets shot from to there. He's like, what the hell? Really, you're good. Ruining everything.
We do have to mention that all the other characters that have very strong personalities, like, you know, Dave Bautista's kind of like that, like, right winger, and Catherine
I liked his character.
Yeah, I really like Dave Bautista's character. Yeah. And Catherine Hahn is like a politician who's like, she's got to keep everything really close and tight. And Kate Hudson's like an ex-model celebrity that's in this group somehow. And I forget where I was going with this, but
you know, it's just like everyone. It kind of. Yeah, everyone has a strong personality. I agree.
Yeah. Hold up. Catch it up. But yeah. But before the dinner. Oh, yeah. Before the dinner and while all that's happening, what I was going to say is all the characters, it's very obvious that Andy, which is Janelle Monáe's character, they're surprised that she shows up.
Yeah. Like, everyone's like, oh, my God.
This person has showed up to that actually took the invitation and showed up, because she's been kind of estranged from their group for a while. Like, she doesn't like talk to them or email them. And there's something between her and the rest of this group.
And I honestly thought she was going to be like his ex-wife or something.
I felt like they mentioned it, and I felt like it had to do with the company. Like, and there was something between her and Ed Norton specifically. And that's just kind of how it is. Like, they explained it like they Zuckerberged her, right?
Yeah. Like they basically, they screwed her over.
Yeah. They stole that from, I think, Rick and Morty. They did a "You Zuckerberging Me" episode.
We're not talking about Rick and Morty right now.
No?
Well, the creator just... Well, we're not going into that, but he's like in serious trouble.
Really? So,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
He had like a big apology.
I don't really follow these things as close as you do. Like, I'm.
Yeah, I'm, Justin Roiland is on like a, I don't know, big apology. Yeah, he's a creep. Those guys are.
Oh, really? Okay, yes. Never mind then. But yeah, so then they get to this dinner, blah blah blah. You were saying.
Yeah. So basically, the murder mystery idea begins, and. What's his name? Daniel Craig character is actually pretty adorable during this whole beginning of this movie because he's excited to get the invitation. He's like hyped to be on the island. He like, and it, this is like the part where I was kind of like found it interesting was that he's also surprised that he's there. He doesn't know why he's there. Like it seems like in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're
he's
like,
wondered why he got invited too.
Yeah, which I was like, that is kind of cool. So when he's excited to start the murder mystery. And to figure it out.
Yeah. I love how they, I did like how they did lay out that he's a little bored. Like, he's just like, I'm the world's best, like, people call me the world's best investigator or detective or whatever. And he's just kind of like looking for something to be exciting. And this whole, like, you know, living in the rich person's island and like all this extravagance and like there's a mystery and he's just like kind of excited to participate in this. And then, like you said, he ruins Ed Norton's whole like mystery weekend, like right off the bat.
Like it takes him like 5 seconds.
And yeah. He solves like everything. And they play it back too, like little shots. Of like the last half hour of the movie you've been watching, of all the little things that you thought were completely like you thought they were just like almost environmental, like you're just like, oh, he's so cute, he's looking at this magazine, but that magazine was part of the mystery. And
he figured that out probably as soon as he got there, like everything was a clue for
him. Like it took him like literally like an hour.
So what happens after that?
I don't know. Something like, you know, Ed Norton's flashing some big dollars. He's showing that he has the Mona Lisa on loan.
Oh, yeah.
France. Like, basically,
like a
they,
douche,
they,
you know,
basically, he's like, they're like, this is all ruined. So we're just going to party, basically. Like, we're
going to
party anyway.
They all start getting drunk.
So they start getting drunk.
They're having a party, and then a actual murder happens. Someone shows up dead.
Are we gonna say it?
I don't know. That's like, what I was like. I don't know if I should give away all of it, but
yeah, we're just whatever. So, basically, we won't. Okay, so this murder happens. It's not the murder I was expecting. I was actually expecting Ed Norton to die right away. I was like Daniel Craig ruined this, but like somebody's going to still do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Then it's going to be another detective shot. But then this other character dies and I'm like, what? Like, I was thinking to myself, what is the purpose of killing this character? Like, I don't understand like why this character had to die.
Yeah.
And why
it
was so important for him to die. But, you know, it turns out, you know, it all plays out, and I don't know how far we're going to go, how deep we're going to go into this, but basically hijinks ensue. Like, everybody starts getting real paranoid.
Yeah, and then like, you start kind of seeing, like, in each of the characters about how, like, they're kind of, like they're not good people.
No, they kind of are hinting at it. Like, you know, they're hinting at it on the way up to this moment. And then once you get to this moment, when something happens, when shit hits the fan, then you can start seeing their personality, like some of the truth in their personality start to come out. Like why they are here, like why they are so attached to Ed Norton's character, like,
yeah.
What's their motivations for maintaining this friendship? Like,
and they're all
kind
of like, I can give this away because this doesn't give away the exact ending of the movie, but they're all very self-preserving. They're trying to preserve themselves throughout this film, even though there's hints of people being like, oh, like maybe I should help them, or I can jump in here and I'll say this, and like I have this person's back now. But it's always like, with a tinge of being like, but I can back out of this.
Yeah, yeah. If it doesn't threaten my safety, I don't mind lending somebody a hand. But like, as soon as I feel inconvenienced, like, fuck y'all, like,
yeah, exactly.
Going down. You know what I mean?
Andy lost the lights again. This is going to be a continuous thing.
Yeah, and well, I might get some actual lights going on at some point, but
But yeah, so Janelle Monáe's character ends up being even bigger than I thought, because the sister.
Because the sister.
Which is also Janelle Monáe with just like not a bob. I thought it was like ridiculous. Like, I thought that was so dumb.
Would you explain that again?
Janelle Monáe's character.
Yeah.
Her twin sister. That is her. Yeah. But it's just her without a bob. Like, I thought it was, I don't know.
Well, they set up that they're twins so she could play both characters. Like,
yeah, but it's just.
And I think she does a good job playing both characters. And
they just didn't need to do that. They just didn't.
And playing a character that's playing a character. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. Without giving too much away, Janelle Monáe's character, the original sister, dies. Then right. The other sister comes and is pretending to be her.
Right. And it blames these people for her sister's death.
Yes.
And that's her motivation to disguise herself as the character and come.
Also, I don't know if we mentioned this in the movie. The movie is not necessarily linear.
There's a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah, there's a lot of jump backs.
Out of place. And I can't remember. There was one place where I did think that, hey, like, this should be a flashback, but it's not. They're just showing it to us, even though I know it happens in the past, because, like, this is how.
And I want to mention that because when I was watching the movie, if you turned away for like a little bit, I got confused at some points. I was like, wait, what? What's happening here? Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, and I just kept watching. I don't know. But since that, and since as the movie was going on, and it for me, it started to become very one note. It started, and as I was just getting less and less interested in this movie as it went on. I thought it started out great and was exciting. I think after the first hour, I was kind of doubt. I was kind of out. I got to be honest. I was kind of out.
Yeah, they had to start throwing in like other little twists to kind of keep you interested. Like commercial break twists. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this
and
happens.
I think they didn't need to do that. I think if they would have stayed with the main storyline, stretched it out longer in the beginning and made it more fun, we didn't need to do all that extra stuff.
So like, that's when they cut it. Yeah. Okay. So when Andy gets shot.
Yes.
And you're like, holy shit. Like, we're screwed. And this has gone south on Benoit Blanc. Then they do the big 30-minute flashback of everything that led up to that point, which is, it's kind of tropey, but I was kind of like really not spelled out super well. So like, if you were kind of like weren't paying attention that well, you'd be like, when you came back in, you're like, what the hell's going on? Like,
yeah, that's how I
and
felt.
And then they catch us back up all the way back up to like where we are. And then it turns out like, to be honest, to pretend that you're dead, like, that's a very difficult thing. I was like, how are they not observing that she's alive?
Yeah. And like,
or
I say, let's just spoil a bit more too. Like, the business thing that happened where they screwed her over, like, it wasn't. I didn't think, like, anyone needs to
They
die
didn't really
over
explain
that.
Why or how they did it, but they basically explained that they just legally, like, separated her from this giant company that Ed Norton has made, and he kind of makes. I'm not exactly sure what he makes or what he does.
But he's supposed to be, what's his name, from Tesla.
Yeah, he's supposed to be kind of like a Musk character.
Yeah.
Like, he's like a little bit off the rails, but like has way too much money for anybody to tell him no, kind of thing.
Kind of off-putting.
Yeah, and he has a big idea that he's going to bring to the world that that he kind of lays out, but then that ties in Catherine Hahn's character and the other the scientist dude that gives them kind of like, he's almost like, he's not blackmailing them, but he's kind of like holding them to like, hey, you this is going to blow up in our faces if you guys don't play along, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
also, I didn't really understand, like, even after the movie, and people, once you watch this movie, this review is going to make a lot more sense because we're kind of all over the place on this movie.
We're just like the movie, all over the place.
Kate Hudson's, like, her character, which is like an ex-supermodel that is somehow good friends with this Elon Musk character, why is she so attached to him?
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out. And it,
like,
was
everything he said, she was like, I'm with him. Like, even when, like, she was kind of being with everybody else, she would still be like, maybe he's right, you know? Like, and I was like, but why?
Yeah. I kept seeing it. And it's so silly that, like, she ends up being such a horrible person. Like,
yeah.
You're just like, oh, man, like, that's just, like, I don't even. Basically, she's like a sweatshop god or whatever. Like, she owns,
yeah,
like
she's just like a bad person, and yeah. I guess they're like, oh, she's just terrible, that's why she loves Edward Norton. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, I guess, like,
that's, yeah, I wouldn't know why at this point, like, she wouldn't have just basically said, like, that was a mistake and I didn't know. Like, who else would?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she had some sort of recording or email, but, like, what would anybody's motivation to be to release that information to the public? Like,
yeah,
because Ed Norton was tied up in that, the retrieval of, or the contract of that sweatshop too. He's the one that found it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't she just take the bullet?
At, yeah,
she's like, or just take the bullet for both of them. Goes, hey, like, I didn't know, like, I fucked up. I was just excited about my clothes. I got blinded by my success and I didn't really care where they're coming from and the ethics of it. Like, yeah, now I don't do it. Like, that's horrible. And I don't think anybody should. Like, you could just play it off that way. I mean, she's a supermodel. Like,
what, yeah, like, supermodel, no one's gonna,
hasn't had their clothes made in a sweatshop. They,
yeah,
all,
and no one's going to really judge her for that. Like, I mean, we all use Apple products. Like, let's be real, y'all. Like, let's get honest with ourselves.
Yeah, we all wear clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
We all wear clothes. And
I'm going to actually tell our viewers, this is going to be a small intermission right here. All right, so, yeah, so Kate Hudson's character, I didn't really get the why she was so hungo in the whole Elon Musk character, but.
I also couldn't get why she was so jealous of the Whiskey character. I knew Whiskey was pretty attractive, but, like, I was like, dude.
You're Kate Hudson. Yeah.
You're Kate Hudson. I was like, come on.
Yeah, like, you're like 50 years old and you're still a baddie. Like, no one's Kate Hudson but Kate Hudson. Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know. I know people that are younger than us that can't rock a swimsuit like that ever.
No, I can't. I'm 30. She's
yeah.
But.
Dude. She's rocking a hot swimsuit. Like, the clothes she's wearing is good.
Also, the guy, the wrestling dude,
Dave Bautista.
Yeah, love him.
Oh, he was a good character. You know what? I was just having a conversation, not last weekend, but the weekend before, when I was visiting some family, my wife's family. And we were talking about all the wrestlers that are moving to, you know, that are having great careers cinematically. Mm-hmm. And unpromptedly, you know, somebody mentioned, hey, Dave Bautista's, he might not be the most successful one, but he's the best actor. And I was like, I've been telling my wife that for years, that he is the best wrestler turned actor, but he has the best acting chops out of all of them, I think.
Yeah, and I think he's probably the second most.
I think he's, like, the second most. I can't.
Yeah,
think,
like,
of,
other than The Rock.
Oh, I was thinking also. What's his name? He does a lot of movies still.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. The Bella twins sister.
Yeah,
for a long time. He's not that really into movies anymore. He's kind of got played out.
I don't know. Yeah, they're all getting played out. He did rock a couple movies in the last few years, which were pretty good. But Dave Bautista's showing up in like everything right now. He is
because he's like an actual actor. That other dude, he's only good when he's doing comedy, like when he's playing like dumb buff guy, you know.
Yeah, but Dave Bautista's has the acting chops, and his career right now is turned up to 11. He's like in. If there's a movie he's in, like, I'm leaning to watching it, like, every single
time. Yeah, he's a great actor. He's a good actor. Yeah. I liked his character, too, like, the super, like, right-wing kind of character.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's carrying around this, like, pistol, like, strapped to his, like, genitals, like, the whole time. I thought that was so over the top. Like, I was like, it's, like, so great, and it's just, like, just kind of shoots it off randomly every once in a while. Just,
I like, think I thought that was dope.
Throws it back in there.
But other than that, and then, you know, they do all the flashbacks, and then it ended kind of for me, and then I don't really remember the ending. Like, I didn't
basically
think anything.
Everybody just gets tired of Ed Norton shit, and they just decide to like fuck up his place.
Yeah, and that is just like the ending. I was like, what?
They're just like they understand, and it's been spelled out that they have this. That he has them like in this hold, like they're dependent on him and him being successful for them to be successful.
Yeah.
And then at some point, once everything gets spelled out with them, what has happened and what Andy and Blanc's
their plan
were, and how they're kind of getting the upper hand on this group. They're just everybody just is like, again, with the self-preservation kind of angle, they're just like, where do we stick to? Like, do we come clean and leave at this point as a group to save ourselves, or do we stay with Ed Norton and go down in flames kind of thing? And they all just turn on him, and they just fuck up his place. Like, literally, they're fucking it up. Like,
they're like breaking windows, they're like smashing furniture,
like lighting things on fire, essentially. Like, it gets crazy. The whole thing
like the whole movie to me. And it might just—it just felt like White Lotus. I don't know. It just was just not. It just didn't do it, you know. I don't know, man. It ended, and I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. That movie, I watched it. Time to do a review."
That's why
I didn't
have
any feelings.
These are like, you know, this is. I don't even know how hard it is to write a screenplay for a movie, but this is a novel. But written as a screenplay, right? So there's like the whole idea is that there's going to be a series of these, not based on books like other detective movies would be based on more elaborate, more detailed books, and they're just kind of abridging it for us. Like, what's the book series with the Alex Cross series? They made several of those movies, right?
Yeah, or like The Girl in the Window, The Girl on the Train, those ones.
Yeah. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Those are all based on kind of detective or mystery books that have been turned into movies. And so they're taking a broad, like very detailed manuscript or book, and they're shrinking it down into a screenplay. This was just written without all those really fine details. I'm not saying there's not details in it, because, I mean, again, I'm not a screenwriter, but there is details in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's, but it's not down to the nitty-gritty. You're not getting down to like how somebody's breathing in a moment, and like what he's thinking and what he's drinking and what he's wearing,
which is so interesting, because when I was looking up things about this movie, there were so many reviews that were like, everything's connected, it's so deep, it's like blah 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 blah, and I was just like, yeah, maybe, like, I guess, but it's really not.
It's not that deep.
No.
Dave Bautista is, his character is, he's like a content creator,
mm-hmm.
and he's in deep shit, and he wants Ed Norton to pump him on his new platform. Catherine Hahn has pumped his energy thing, and that's, it's not super well, but she's kind of holding on, hoping they can solve it.
Because she's going to be
same with
the
scientist
Senate.
Guy.
Yeah.
They're too deeply connected with this energy shit. Kate Hudson's trying to hide that she made her clothes in a sweatshop, and happens. Andy's there for revenge. So, like, it's not that complicated. Just like Benoit Blanc says, hey, once the lights go off and the power goes off, it's very easy. Somebody with a gun is just going to try to kill you.
Yeah, and, you know, when I watched the movie, I think it would have been better as a TV show.
I thought that, too, at one point, that I was like, oh, what if this was like a six-part miniseries on Netflix or something?
Then
like
it would have been more interesting. Then I would have felt like the reason why they would drag it on, because as a movie, it's like too long to be enjoyable. You're like, I don't need all this extra shit. And then it's too, like, not, like, the pages haven't been read enough for me to understand what, like, what's the character's real motivation is, like, you know?
Yeah. So you're saying, like, let's stretch it out a little bit and put in some, yeah, because you could have had some great, like, cuts in there. Like, when we said, like, oh, that's, like, a commercial break cut, that could have been a cliffhanger at the end of an episode.
Yes, and then it would have been stronger. I mean? Then it would have been interesting.
Yeah, like when, like, say when Ed Norton, like, you know, they go through all this intro and Ed Norton's like, let me meet with you, Blanc. And then he's like, why the hell are you here? Boom, bam. Hit the credits. You're like, oh, shit, like, he's not supposed to be there. He knows that. You're like, I got to watch the next episode, you know? I got to watch the next 45 minutes.
Oh, there's also another character we forgot to mention. There's just a guy on the island that is like his friend Dale or whatever.
Yeah. And Peg, too. Peg is Kate Hudson's assistant, which I thought she was way more involved than just being an assistant. Like, but she's not. She's just
an assistant. Yeah.
I couldn't understand why she was so motivated by being there either. Like, except for
Kate Hudson, I guess. Like,
Yeah, I thought she was maybe like a secret lover. I thought maybe she was somehow like a super genius that was involved in some science stuff. Like, I couldn't figure it. I was like, what's her role? And it just, she's just like, if Kate Hudson goes down, like, my career's over because I've just been her assistant for like 20 years or something. I don't know. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't really feel like there's anything else to say about the movie. Like, I feel like.
No, I'm going to say, you know what? I don't want to deter anybody from watching it. Sarah is critical of this movie. I liked it. I'm going to say go watch it. And Sarah, if you were to go to the movie theaters and pay $5 to see this, would you think it's worth $5? My lights are worth $5.
Yeah, I think it's worth $5. The laughs are pretty good. The acting's good. The cinematography is pretty good. I like the colors. I like the art design. I like what they're wearing. I thought there's a lot of good details in that.
Yeah. I actually thought that was cool, too. Like, I thought the environment, it looked like they spent time on it.
It felt like you were there.
Yeah.
Like, you
the
got,
acting
you were
I
there.
Thought was good because they had high-level actors that are doing great. I think it's interesting that Daniel Craig has played multiple characters with this kind of Southern accent on him, like, which I find funny, but he's doing it okay, I guess. And yeah, I would pay the $5 too, and I'm gonna give it a little that.
So. Yeah, I think it's worth the $5. Yeah.
Well, hold it. We both did it, so it's a
yes. You know what I mean? And so I would suggest, like, watch the movie. Like, it's fun enough. I'm being critical because that's what I'm supposed to be when I'm on here. Like, and I'm being honest, like, I don't think I'll ever watch that movie again.
It really depends on your mood, too. Like, sometimes you watch something and you're like, oh, yeah, I can see that fits my criteria for a $5 movie. But also right now, I feel like I don't want that kind of movie. I want something else in my $5 movie. And I think that's how you're feeling. You're just like, eh. Like, it's a half-hearted mystery, but it's a fun little ride. So
yeah, and I like the cast. I mean, everyone in the movie, like we were saying, Janelle Monáe, Kate Hudson, everyone's good. Everyone, like, yes.
Yeah.
I like everyone.
If you can pick one part that was your favorite part of the movie, like, just even the littlest thing, like, what would you say was, you know, like, for example, it's not my favorite part, but I liked how they introduced that the Mona Lisa was under some sort of guard, like, automatic security system. And anytime they did anything, the thing would just, you can hear, they had a little sound that just was like, closing it up. Like every time, like somebody would raise their voice and be like, like they wouldn't show it, but you would hear
that like sound the little detail was cool.
Locking up the Mona Lisa again. And I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah.
I do like when Edward Norton's like, and it's just us, only us on this island. And then his buddy walks by. Hey, with like beards. Hey. He's like, I'm not here. He's like,
pretend he's not here. He's working some shit out. Like, don't worry. And I thought he was going to come back too. And he's just an observer, just like us. Like,
He comes back a couple times in the movie, but not with like anything substantial.
Purpose. Not, no, yeah. He's not the killer. Like, don't worry about it. He's just a dude.
I do like that Daniel Craig's character too. Like, they keep coming back to like the joke of him just being in the tub all the time. Like he's just soaking all day. Like I like that part. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. I like when he was playing Among Us in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And he was horrible at the game. Like it's like, he's like the best detective and it's kind of a detective game and he's just cannot do it. And he's just so bad at it. Like, they're so like, everybody knows you are the person. Like, everybody knows you're the imposter. Like, it's so obvious. You can't hide it, so.
So it's a $5 movie. I say go watch it.
Yeah, it's right that $5 line. It's solid, and I think it's a solid follow-up to the second one. I hope they do make a third one, and maybe this will be kind of like the, hey, remember that, like, the one with all the movie stars he made in between these two movies. And like, you know, the first one I thought was really good. This one I thought was a good follow up. I'm glad it was practically straight to Netflix. You know what I mean? It was like a week in the theaters and then Netflix was like, yeah, we're going to pull it to our streaming system. And I hope the third one is even better than this one.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be more of these movies. They seem to be pretty successful with its run right now on Netflix. Everyone I know is like watching it.
Yeah. Did you ever hear that the director writer, Rian Johnson, he didn't like the Knives Out part on there. He wanted just the call it Glass Onion. He didn't want to tie in the Knives Out.
I would have liked that a lot more. I think that would have been so much better.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
I thought that would have been way more interesting to watch Glass Onion and then to see the same character from Knives Out back in it. And you would have been like, what the hell? Daniel Craig's in this movie playing the same guy? Like, what the hell is he doing in this movie?
Yeah.
You know? Instead of being like, oh, it's a sequel to Knives Out, but really the only connection is Daniel Craig.
Right. It's an anthology series like surrounding Daniel Craig, even though he's not the main character in the first movie. So I was kind of like,
yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, it's like in the same vein of like naming all the Cloverfields Cloverfield.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but
it's just brand recognition. Yeah. It's just easier for advertising.
So, yeah. And then my kids are like really into Among Us. So that's like kind of, I was like, oh, that's the Among Us part.
So yeah, it's a really soft spot popular for you.
Yeah.
So. All right, everyone. Well, I guess that is the review. I hope you had a great time listening to this. This was real. If you watched the movie, this review would be good and like fun to listen to. If you haven't watched the movie,
yeah,
this must be the most confusing.
I can tell people are yelling at us that have watched the movie already. They're like, no, you morons. Like, it's deeper than that. And I was like, no.
It's not. No. I mean, and I even listened to other people review the movie trying to see if I missed something. And everything they were saying, I was like, stupid, dumb. I don't care.
You're reviewing reviews. They're stupid and dumb.
It's just not that deep. But it doesn't need to be a $5 movie. And that's why we have this podcast.
It was a like I said, it's a good ride.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, we'll see you next week on a mini episode where we'll watch some trailers and talk about life a little bit. And we hope to see you there next week. Again, my name is Sarah B. I'm here with my amazing co-host, my big brother.
Andy B, aka Big Brother.
And we will see you next time.
Next time. Do-da-ba-ba.